Good afternoon. Thank you for inviting me today. Today I'm going to speak about the 2-year program evaluation for the Massachusetts Preschool Vision Screening Program. The goal of this program, which is a statewide population-based vision screening program, is to ensure that all preschoolers have a quality vision screening with appropriate follow-up and appropriate treatment in order to maximize their visual potential and also reduce the prevalence of permanent visual loss from disorders. Primarily, we're talking about amblyopia. I have to thank my collaborators here, Dr. Bruce Moore. Many of you know him. He's a pediatric optometrist from New England College of Optometry. Ann Sheets and Tom Comerford from the Department of Public Health, the School Health Unit, and Lynn McIntyre, who assisted greatly in the data analysis. Today, I want to talk very briefly, just a few minutes, about the background information, and I apologize if there are people out there who don't know much about the program. I really want to focus today on what we have for evaluation. Again, we don't have a centralized database. We don't have a way to monitor everybody, but we're doing the best we can at trying to get some information as to how the heck is this been, what's been going on with this over the last 2 years. So I want to focus. We'll look at the number of kindergartners that are presenting with evidence of a preschool vision screening in the primary care's office. We're going to look at the quality of that screening. In my opinion, we were discussing earlier, it's not enough to say you had a screening, but what kind of screening was it? Was it a good screening with good methodology? And we'll begin to look at some of the follow-ups, because I know a year ago people understandably had questions about that. Yes, we have a legislative mandate in Massachusetts, signed into law in 2004, requires that every child upon entering kindergarten needs to show proof of having had a vision screening. Not any vision screening, a vision screening with a defined protocol, a vision screening by approved and trained personnel. And further, if children don't pass the vision screening, they need to, at the time of entry, show proof of having had a comprehensive eye exam and follow-up if necessary. In addition, by statute now, any child with neurodevelopmental delay also needs to show proof of having had a comprehensive eye exam. And a protocol was defined. The protocol we use has two components. The visual acuity is comprised of an age-appropriate methodology with Leia symbols or HOTV letters. We give specific instructions as to how this protocol is administered, paying particular attention to the method of ocular occlusion. This is a common reason why even the best intentions for vision screenings fall short. So we say, no, 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 don't use the palm of the hand. No, 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 no cups, no cardboard covers, no spoons. That doesn't work. Some of our suppliers develop these occluder glasses, which we've really been recommending, occluder glasses or patching. The second part of the protocol is the random.e. So, the program, again, it's a statewide program, and it's population-based. We want every kid in the state to have it. And the model we picked for Massachusetts was based on the medical home, that children, these preschoolers, since they're a dispersed group, would receive the screening within the medical home. We can do that in Massachusetts. You may not be able to do that in Montana, but we can do it because 95% of the children have insurance, have a primary care provider, and within this model, school nurses function as a safety net. That children, as they enter kindergarten, if they don't have this proof, they haven't had the screening done, the school nurses will participate and do the screening. And this is the logic model. This helps me keep my mind straight, and I use it a lot. And you can see the primary care providers, yes, I think we would agree, many of them are unaware of the importance of early vision screening. And the ones that are aware, frankly, don't know how to do a good screening. So they're unaware that if we can educate them, change their behavior, change their awareness, so that more screenings will happen in the medical home with follow-up and treatment, then our ultimate goal to reduce the prevalence of amblyopia. School nurses, absolutely critical position, to pick up the children who haven't been screened, to communicate back with the primary care physician. And also, a key point in the model is they can participate in the evaluation activities. So education, primary care, important. Education, school nurses, very important. We've got some other activities up here that we also need to work on. We implemented it. We developed educational materials, PowerPoint presentations that people can download from websites, video productions. We recently, with the help from some folks providing us some money, we don't have a lot of money for our program, by the way, We didn't manage to send a CD to every provider in the state and every school with all the educational materials. And yes, we bring the education directly to the primary care physicians, working through a lot of their own professional organizations. And the education with the nurses has been going on since 2001, 2002. I call them our superheroes. I'll go back with that because I really do believe, at least in Massachusetts, they're our superheroes. And now we've got nurses around the state who've participated in these train-the-trainer programs. So now they're going out and putting on their own workshops and conferences around the state training the nurses. All right, so what's it look like? Well, let's look at what we have. Let's first look at the primary care providers, okay, the unit of observation primary care providers. Last year I reported on this randomized phone survey 18 months after the initiation of the program of 100 primary care pediatric practices, in which 90% said they were aware, 89% said, oh yeah, we're using that protocol in our offices. Well, that was kind of encouraging, but you still have to ask the question, all right, really, what are they doing, okay? We had some baseline information from a survey of primary care providers when we first started, gave us an idea of what the pediatricians in Massachusetts were doing. The data from 2005 was based on 302 respondents. Earlier this year, we sent out a similar survey asking similar questions, and the data I'll be presenting will be based on 91 respondents of that survey. In the 2007 survey, 73% said that they're using the protocol. So actually, a less percent than we had in our randomized sample, because this is not a randomized sample. So it appears that we're not selecting an overly enthusiastic group, you know. And back in 2005, 16% were using HOTV and Leia. I think most practitioners would have said, what the heck is HOTV and what the heck is Leia? But now we see a dramatic increase for 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds. Pictures, not surprisingly, they love pictures. 73% of them were using pictures in 2005. Now we see a dramatic decline in the use of pictures, thank goodness. Stereo tests, again, most didn't even know it existed, 16%. And now we see a dramatic increase. What about ocular occlusion? This is looking at fingers, hands, cardboard covers, etc., all of which, in my opinion, should not be used as part of a vision screening. And we see that in 2005, a sizable number were using this method of occlusion. And guess what? Still in 2007, we still see, as part of the protocol, this method of occlusion being used. When we look at patch tape, occluder glasses, we do see some improvement. Back in 2005, of course, nobody was using occluder glasses because they weren't around. There's a good reason. But now we're seeing more and more beginning to use more appropriate methods of occlusion. In order to really do a test of significance, we needed to combine the three groups, the 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds, because the question 2005 lumped those age groups together. And the data is actually will be no surprise to you. HOTV Alea, 18%, 65%, statistically significant. Patch tape, occluder glasses, dramatic increase, and it is statistically significant. How many do an assessment of alignment? Again, there's an increase, statistically significant increase, but 66% were doing an assessment of alignment in 2005, but what they were using, most of them, was the cover test. And since then, we've said, don't do the cover test. Stereo testing, 15% to 85%, fairly dramatic. So, in summary, in terms of the primary care physicians, we are seeing an increase in the number of primary care physicians using the mandated protocol, HOTV and Leia symbols, less using pictures, more assessing alignment, in particular with the stereo test, beginning to get some proper method of occlusion. Clearly, we still have some inappropriate methods of occlusion, which will help us kind of target our education going forward. Small sample size, absolutely, for 2007. Maybe they're getting sick of us, you know. And it wasn't random sample, and certainly will be selection bias. It was a little encouraging to me that, again, we didn't appear to be selecting an overly compliant, enthusiastic group. What about the nurses? When the program started, the Department of Public Health had some data on the children who were presenting to kindergarten with documentation of vision screening by the primary care physician. The numbers there were 43.9%. And the following year, 2006-2007, a questionnaire. People went online to complete a questionnaire. This was done through an email contact with the able to contact 85% of the schools, both public and non-public. Our school health services unit has developed this fascinating email trail. So the information got out, and look at the numbers that were reported on. Over 31,000 kindergarten students, almost half of the total enrollment in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. During this school year, 54.7% were screened by the primary care physician, and this survey was done at the end of the year. The balance were screened by the school nurse. This year, mid-October, we opened up a similar survey, again using the same email system, reaching 85% of the schools. To date, as of Friday, we have reports on over 22,000 kindergarteners, a third of the total enrollment, 61.8% screened by primary care physician, 11.5% by the school nurse. Interestingly, we thought we may have a large group of others, you know, like Lions Clubs or, you know, Prevent Blindness, although Prevent Blindness is not that active in our state now, and that number was almost zero. 26.4% yet did not have a screening, and we'll need to follow up on that. I will kind of make the presumption that the school nurses over the next month or so will be screening those children. Visual acuity, these are layer symbols, HOTV. Look at that. Almost all the nurses, when they do the protocol, are using the required symbols. The occluded glasses, almost half of them are using occluded glasses. Another 6.8% using the patch. So the message is getting out, but again, look, we still have a sizable number, you know, using the palm and the hand and all that stuff. We ask questions about the time to complete, and if we add this, 1 to 3 minutes, 4 to 6 minutes, we see 3/4 of the nurses, and by the way, there were 301 so far nurse respondents, over 3/4 of them report that they can do this screening in 6 minutes or less. 89% thought screening was preschool screening was important or extremely important. Look at this. More than half of the respondent nurses said they never contact the primary care office. What they do is if a screening is not done, they just do it. So this gets back to our logic model. We appear to be missing a link here. So this was important information, you know, that we're not getting that feedback in our model. 44% reported that eye care providers almost always or always communicate their results with the nurses. So that loop appears to be working much better. 8.3% of them did not pass, because we never say fail, did not pass. And as of mid-October, so that's still early in the school year, 27.9% presented a comprehensive eye exam. Now, really, we want that 100%, okay? 27.9 as of mid-October, and we're hoping that number will go up over the next couple of months. Let me just add some data, again, by the Department of Public Health, the Continuous Quality Improvement Project, and this is self-selecting cohort of nurse leaders who really, frankly, do think vision is important and want to get some data. Let's look at 2006, 2007, specifically their referral and follow-up rates. They reported on 4,000 pre-K students. These were enrolled pre-K students. We have a total enrollment of 24,000. 11% were referred for failed vision screening, and 76.4% of those had the referral in place, comprehensive eye exam. Then they reported on over 14,000 kindergarten students. 9.8% did not pass, and 6.3% of those had a comprehensive eye exam. Now, admittedly, this is a cohort of nurses that really think vision is important, but it's certainly encouraging. So in summary, in terms of the nurses, there has been, and there, according to the data, there's an increase in the number of preschoolers presenting with a screening by the primary care provider since the initiation of the program, 43.9%, 61.8%, and as important, we have evidence that the quality of the screening used is improving by both primary care providers and the nurses. So we have an increase in the rates of preschool vision screening, an improvement in the quality of the vision. We're beginning to get data on the follow-up. Clearly, we need to monitor that. Moving forward, we've got to keep looking for problems in the methodology. And I think ocular occlusion, I've seen it with my own eyes. I think it's a major problem. and we need to address that. I mentioned the communication with the primary care physician and the nurse seems to be missing. We need to continue our aggressive educational campaign. You know, until it's institutionalized, we are forced to continue an aggressive campaign. We need to continue program evaluation. At this point, it's kind of piecemeal with whatever we have available, with multiple sites, hopefully some randomized studies. Again, working towards a unified system where we can record the data and track children a lot more easily. And work is being done in developing a new registry in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, of which Vision would be part of that registry. We continue to work on methods to fund vision screening. And again, going back to our logic model, I want to draw your attention here, parent caregiver education. I do think we're at a point that this could have a dramatic influence in the program by educating parents as to why their primary care physician should be screening their young child, and also why if the child doesn't go well, why they need to make sure that the child gets the follow-up care. We're looking to partner. We feel like all our ducks are in a row. Isn't that a cute slide? Oh, we feel like our ducks are in a row in Massachusetts, and we're working with and investigating possibilities of collaboration with a number of organizations to develop now what I'm kind of calling Health Literacy Consumer Engagement Campaign directed at parents and primary caregivers. So I thank you all for your time.